Let's be praying for Lou Marangeli and team as they will be going into their prison ministry this week. When do you go to that, Lou?
May 12th.
May 12th, so a few days yet, but he'll be going shortly to a prison ministry that he's involved in each year, and pray for God to bless that ministry and use Lou and the other team members during that time. And Stephen, what do you hear from the family down in Texas? Good, good. And so we're grateful for that and thankful for that. Don't forget as well, I didn't mention in the announcements earlier, but don't forget next Saturday we have a special work day planned here at the church, and that starts around 9 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. And if you can come for just an hour or so, come. If you can come for several hours, come. We'll have lots of things to do. This past week, I had boys PE one day, and the boys PE class went out and worked in the yard for the PE class and picked up branches. We filled a whole trailer full of branches that fell out of the trees and stuff. They were so excited to do that. I just can't tell you how excited they were to do that. But they did a great job and got all the I don't think they want me to become their PE teacher too often that way, but they did a work for God and did a good job, and I'm glad that they had that opportunity to serve God in that way as well. I know that if we mention certain passages of Scripture, that you, because of your familiarity with the Word of God, you know what certain passages deal with. If we were to go to Genesis 12, can anybody tell me what Genesis 12 basically deals with? The call of Abraham and the introduction of the Abrahamic covenant. And so we have the call of Abraham in chapter 12. When we come on into Psalm 23, what's Psalm 23? It's oftentimes called the Shepherd's Psalm, but it's a passage of Scripture that we are very familiar with. What is 1 Corinthians 15? Resurrection chapter. What's 1 Corinthians 13? Love chapter. What's Hebrews chapter 11? Yeah, faith chapter, hall of faith, all of fame. And so, you know, you're familiar with many different passages of God's Word. If I were to ask you what is Luke 15, some of you might know, but you would have to think for a moment. Luke 15 is a very, very familiar passage of Scripture. And can anyone, without looking, tell me what Luke 15 is? Ah, I heard it over here. It was the prodigal son. The prodigal son. And let's turn to Luke 15 this morning. Actually, there are three different parables in this passage. The parable of the prodigal son is one of those. What are the other two parables found in this passage? The parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. And then we have the parable of the lost son. Why did Jesus give these parables? What was the reason why he actually launched into these three parables? All right, earthly story, but what caused him to tell this earthly story with a heavenly meaning? Well, what happened right at the beginning of this chapter? And then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear. And that's a good thing, isn't it? Boy, the publicans that were kind of looked down upon by the religious leaders, the publicans and the sinners drew near to hear. And so what do the publicans, the Pharisees say? Verse 2. The Pharisees and scribe murmurs, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And this they wanted to be what kind of a remark? Criticism and scorn and ridicule. And this man, he receives sinners and eateth with them. But is that, as far as Christ is concerned, a rebuke or a wonderful statement? Well, in Christ, because Jesus, it is said, came to seek and to save that which was lost, he came to give himself a ransom for many. And so for them to say, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them," their intent was to criticize. But guess what they were speaking? A wonderful truth. A wonderful truth. You know, out of the mouths of babes, out of the mouth of the rocks, if necessary, and out of the mouths of these hypocritical religious leaders came some truth. And the truth was that Jesus Christ does receive sinners, and he eats with them. And so he spake this parable unto them. And we have the three parables now. Now, just about any Sunday school child who's been in Sunday school any length of time could tell us the parable of the prodigal son. They could tell us, not maybe hit every detail, but they could tell us, if I had a child here that had been in Sunday school for a while and I said, "Tell me the story of the prodigal son," I'm sure that they could do that. It's a fairly simple story, and it's a timeless story, isn't it? It's a story that could apply to our age as much as it did back to Jesus' day. It is one of these timeless stories. And certainly, we see that he was telling it to demonstrate the truth that, yes, Jesus receives sinners. And not only does he receive them, but he goes seeking them. And I'm sure with a tender heart desired that even those Pharisees and scribes that were criticizing him would be some of those that would come to him as well. And so he tells this series of three stories. And now, I have preached on this passage before, and I'll probably preach on it again. It's one of those that you can preach many times and still not hit all the truth there. But in this particular passage, I would call this not the prodigal son. I have preached this passage where I have spent most of my time looking at the father rather than the son. Because this is also a story about a loving father. It's not just the story of a troubled son. It's the story of a loving father. And we could concentrate on God's love in this passage. And we will see that, of course, as we look at this passage. But here was a young man. I don't know exactly his age, but I'm thinking in my mind he would probably be the same age as Stephen Urban here. I know I don't know that for sure. I'm just saying it. He was a young man. And you know what was his biggest problem? He had a wrong view of life. He had a wrong view of life. He did not really understand what true life was all about. Just from your knowledge of the story, and we're going to read it in a moment, what do you think his view of life was? All right, I'm hearing lots of things. Some of you said eat, drink, and be merry. How many of you think that was maybe his view of life? Yes? How many of you think that maybe he had a view of life that said, "Things can bring me joy"? Things can bring me joy. He had a view of life that was kind of this materialistic view that dominates even our own society. You know, I went a few years ago on a missions trip to Australia. I happened to be there during the 2000 Olympics. I went with a group of around 70 Christians from the United States. We all went over there as a group, and we joined a couple hundred Australian believers, and so we had a team of over 250 or 275, and every day we would go out to different venues, different areas within Sydney, Australia, and we would go to city parks, we would go to shopping centers, we would go to the local zoo, we would go different places, and there we would witness and we would pass out gospel literature. And we, do you know what the biggest problem of reaching Australians is today? Australians are much like Americans. They have accumulated wealth and do not believe they need God. They have worked hard to carve a living out of a hostile land, you know, a couple hundred years ago when it was very hostile. And now they are self-made people. And what do we need God for? Well, that's true of a lot of Americans too, isn't it? But here's a young man who had the wrong view of life. He thought things could satisfy. He thought wealth would bring happiness. He thought that things were the goal of life. He thought only of the temporal and gave no thought to the eternal. And so in a sense, that's what all of mankind kind of looks like today. Those apart from Christ have similar views. And Jesus said on one occasion, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And so life is not about things. D.L. Moody's life verse was John 2:17. It says, And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. The world passeth away. That's what this prodigal failed to realize. That it wasn't things. And so he made a big, big mistake right from the very beginning. And so what did he ask? Let's read in verse 11. Luke 15:11, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. We'll come back and comment on that. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields, into his fields, to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And his son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. But for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry." And we're going to stop there. We'll take up perhaps something about the other brother in a moment. But and so here was his request: give me my portion. As I read that, it almost sounded to me more like a demand than a request. Again, perhaps this young man, the prodigal, not only had a false view of what life was really about, he also didn't understand what it meant to be in subjection to your father. He didn't understand what it meant to obey your parents. He didn't understand what it meant to honor your father and your mother. The very wording here suggests to me that this was more of a demand rather than a request. And so we see him going to his father with this demand. I'm wondering in my own mind about the father here as well. Now, I know that later on we have to be careful here because who do we view as a picture of the father, especially later in this chapter? Well, of God the Father welcoming home the repentant child. And so I want to be careful that I don't paint too many. But just from the human standpoint, maybe this father should have been a little more firm and not have given in to the son's demand. Perhaps a more demanding father could have spared his son some agony here. But again, we're trying to be careful we don't read too much into this story because of who the picture is of the father here. But certainly, the father did divide unto them his living, it says in verse 12. Remember, it's just a story to tell us some spiritual truth here. And we don't know where the young man went, but it almost appears that from the very beginning he had a plan that once he got his portion of the inheritance, he was going to leave. It says, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." We know the story. And again, the principle here about those who leave home, get out on their own, we know the dangers of that, don't we? Of those who get out where they're making their own decisions, making their own choices. They're no longer living in the home where there are expectations in the home. There are no longer any rules that used to be in the home. I'm on my own. And I know that a lot of young people kind of have that thought in mind. I can't wait till I get on my own. Well, let me tell you, young people, there are a lot of dangers associated with being on your own. A lot of dangers associated with being on your own. And here we have a young man who got on his own and started making some wrong choices, wrong decisions, wrong companions, wrong lifestyle. Believe me, if you have money to spend, you will find people that want to help you spend it. And birds of a feather flock together. Again, when I was a student in college, and just I hope you all understand this, that not every young person going off to Bible college is there by their own choices sometimes. And it just seemed remarkable how that in the first couple of weeks of any semester, the guys that had a rebellious attitude could find the other guys that had a rebellious attitude. Within days, they could find each other. And that's the same here. Within days, people wanted to live the same lifestyle as the prodigal here. He didn't have any trouble finding those who wanted to spend his money. And we don't know all of what's involved here with the riotous living. It's probably good the scriptures don't tell us everything, but we can certainly understand that that can involve all kinds of sin. All kinds of sin. And notice these friends when the money ran out. They weren't there any longer. And so we have this troubled young man with a wrong philosophy of life who now has wasted this inheritance, is learning a lot of hard lessons. And in my mind, if this were based upon a true story, perhaps the famine was brought into the land just to continue to cause this young man to have a hard time, showing some of the providence of God. And so not only did he run out of money, but he ran out of fame. Food, he ran out of a place to live. I can imagine all sorts of things. The mother is never mentioned in this passage. Did you notice that? We don't know what happened to his mother. Maybe his mother passed away when he was very young. Some author that I was reading said maybe his mother died of a broken heart. I don't know, but the mother is not in the picture. But can you imagine, I know I'm trying to imagine a few things in the story this morning, but can you imagine what this young man had to do to get some food? Maybe he pawned everything he owned, sold everything he owned, sold his shoes. That's why he didn't have any shoes at the end. Sold everything he could get to try to get something to eat. Maybe even some gift that had been very precious to him that his mother had given him, and he finally got rid of it so he could get some food. But this man wasted it all. And what did he lose? Well, there's several things that he lost. He lost his home. In the end, he had no home. He had friends for a while. He had money for a while. But even when the money ran out, none of them invited him to their home. He became homeless. And this prodigal longed for the home he'd lost. He lost his food. I'm sure our home is a lot like your homes. Some of the best times in our home are around the table. Just to sit and fellowship around the table. And when my whole family is home, I go out of the way to get extra stuff for the table. You know, my family loves fresh fruit. And whenever they're around, I make platters of fresh fruit that are just huge. What did this young man, I'm sure while he was so hungry, he thought about sitting at his father's table at home and all the food that was there. He lost his testimony. Now, some suggest in my reading that it was probably Egypt that he went to. We don't know that, but if he did, he is in a foreign land where there are foreign gods, and he's now a Hebrew coming from, and so now he's in a country where he's supposed to be a representative of God, because that's what all the Hebrews were supposed to be. They were supposed to demonstrate a nation that loved God. And he lost his testimony so much so that he had to do the very thing that was probably the worst thing that a Jew could do, feed pigs. Have any of you ever read the book about the Muslim young man who left being a Muslim and was now a spy for Israel. And I can't think of the title of the book, but in that book, not only do Jews not like pigs, but Muslims abhor them even more. Do you know what they use in a prison system to guard the Muslims? Pigs, not dogs, pigs. And a Muslim will not go walk where a pig has been. And the Jews consider pigs to be very, very, very filthy animals. And so what is this young man who thought he had it all, thought he had it made, what's he end up doing? Feeding the pigs. And notice the wording here as well in verse 16. It says, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. What does it mean he would have fain done that? Does that say he did do it? No, it says he wanted to do it. They wouldn't even let him eat the husks. And no man gave unto him. No man. But you know, one of the things that this young man never lost, he never lost the love of his father. He lost his home, lost his money, lost his testimony, his reputation, but he never lost the love of his father. And then he gets to thinking. Now, it's a good thing to stop and think, isn't it? We ought to all do it a little more often. But he stopped to think. And when he thought, what did he think about? Home. Home. And what else did he think about? He thought about the servants and that they had food, and what does the scripture say? And to spare. The servants had food and to spare. If nothing else, maybe I could get home and get some of that spare food. And those famous words, verse 17, wonderful words. This was the beginning point for the rest of the story. And when he came to himself. You know, I hope that in every one of our lives there was a point in time when we began to think about eternity and think about our lives and think about God and think about heaven, and that turning point can be when we come to ourselves. You know what that really means? You start thinking right. He had been thinking wrong. He had been living wrong. Now he's going to start thinking right. And his first right thinking was about home. And his first right thinking was about his sin. For what had he said? Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. So he, when he comes to his right mind, he starts thinking of home and he starts thinking about sin. And he starts thinking about what he forfeited when he left. And he goes home with the petition to no longer be a son, but to become a servant. And it wasn't long, and his plan began to be put into practice, and he headed home. Probably several days' journey home. Hot, tired, hungry, shoeless. but heading home. Probably sleeping under trees at night, drinking water out of a stream when he could, but remember what had been going on at this time? A famine. So maybe there wasn't even any water to drink. Begging for whatever food he could get. Heading home. He had planned to say a lot, but what did he not get to say? Well, you read it with me. He said, I will arise, verse 18, go to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And when in verse 21, what does he say? Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight am no more worthy to be called thy son. What didn't he say? Make me as one of thy servants. The father cut him off. Wouldn't let him say, make me a servant, but said, bring forth the best robe, bring forth the ring and shoes on his feet, and the fatted calf. What was the passage that brought about all of this parable? This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. What did the father do? Received a sinner, and then what was the next thing he did? Ate with him. The very thing that he was being accused of is what this father did in this story. What do we see from the father? A never dying love. Yes, he repented, admitted his sin, and turned in faith that the Father would even receive him back. And the Father was very merciful, and the Father was very gracious. The Father demonstrated mercy and grace and love. Let me ask you this morning, was there a time in your life when you were a prodigal? Was there a time in your life when you wandered in your own plan, in your own sin, and yet you heard about a loving Father, you heard about a God who could supply all your needs, a God who could forgive, a God who could cleanse, a God who could save, a God who had provided for your spiritual needs. The whole purpose of this story is to encourage those who are sinners to return because God receives sinners. Not only does he receive them, he forgives them, he cleanses them, he shows grace and mercy to them, and yes, he even fellowships with them. If you're here today and you still do not know Christ as your personal Savior, the Father invites you today to return to him. The Father invites you today to come confessing your sin, come admitting that you can't save yourself, come believing that Jesus' blood was sufficient to pay for your sin, and he in grace and mercy and love will cleanse you, forgive you, and fellowship with you. But first, you have to come to yourself and recognize your need. And recognize that there's a God who ever loves and ever cares. Let's pray. Father, we know there's much more that could be said about this parable of the prodigal son, this parable of the loving father. Lord, you ever stand ready to receive the repentant sinner to yourself. Your word tells us that those that come unto God by him, is he is able to save to the uttermost. We know that you will not cast out any who come. Father, we're thankful that your word tells us that you are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so I pray today, especially if there are any in our midst who do not know Christ, they do not know the assurance of salvation, they do not know that their relationship with Christ, with God, is secure in Christ. And I pray today that they would see their own sin, see the sufficiency of Christ, and see the salvation that's offered through faith. Speak to that heart today and draw them unto yourself. For those of us who know Christ, certainly it's easy to stray. May we never stray and believe that this world has any joys for us apart from you. Cause us to be so under conviction that we return whenever we might feel we should stray. And so use your word to speak to our hearts now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.